Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning.
One of the critiques that I've heard about J.R.R. Tolkien's stories over the years, beyond them being overly verbose or overly detailed of the locations and all of the plants and things along the way, is the critique that the stories are just moving from one thing to run away from to another. That the plot just kind of starts going at the beginning. It starts fairly slow, and then once it's going, it just keeps going. And if you boil down the story to its bare bones, then maybe it appears like that. The main characters are in danger a lot of the time. They're moving from one dangerous moment to another. But I don't think that's a fair critique. I think that there is a lot more going on that people don't give the story credit for. You have moments of long discussions, and we're going to see more of those in The Lord of the Rings than we do in The Hobbit. And of course, those get their own critiques as well. For example, the Council of Elrond is often pointed out as being the overly verbose section where there's just so much talking and not a whole lot happening. But that doesn't happen all the time. But what does seem to happen very regularly is this pacing, this intentional decision with the pacing, where the characters do move from a dangerous situation to a moment of relief or even a moment of comedy, and then on to another dangerous situation. And we've gone over that recently with the goblins and some of the moments of pause in between the danger and in between them being up in the trees and then saved by the eagles. But this whole section where they meet Bjorn is clearly a moment of relief. It is a time to take a breath. It is a situation that is being built up as something dangerous again. And yet, we get this moment of relief. In fact, not just a moment of relief, but a moment of comedy. This scene could have been played out in a sketch comedy show. In fact, it should be played out in a sketch comedy show. I can imagine this on a stage, played out as the characters come out two by two, and as Bjorn's attitude changes over time, and as Bilbo slowly realizes how smart Gandalf was for suggesting this tactic in exactly this way. Now, one of the things that happens in the scene is that it doesn't come across as particularly realistic. In a scene like this, if you were designing it to be realistic, after the first or second pair come out, then the host would probably say, okay, how many of them are there? Can you just, everybody just come out? But that isn't as entertaining. This is supposed to feel like something from a fairy tale, from a story, from a stage play, a piece of literature, not a direct look at real life. And so we get this moment of levity. Let's get into it. So Bilbo and Gandalf have just sat down with Bjorn, and Bjorn is very interested in the story about the goblins. And we're going to get into why that was a very wise decision from Gandalf as this goes on. So Gandalf begins the story and he says, "I was coming over the mountain with a friend or two." And immediately Bjorn picks up on this, or two. He's looking at just two of them, but if you have two friends, then we're missing somebody. And then Gandalf owns up to the plan right here in the beginning. He says, "Well, to tell you the truth, I did not like to bother you with a lot of us." Now, I think this can get lost in the scene as the scene continues on and two come out. But right here at the beginning, he says that there's a lot of us. But Bjorn doesn't seem to pick up on that. He seems to pick up more on the sentiment of there are more than just the two of us. And so he gets the agreement from Bjorn to call out and let them come back in. So he says, "Go on, call away." And Gandalf whistles, and we get our first pair, Thorin and Dory. And Thorin, it makes sense that he would come out next because, well, he wasn't the one that Gandalf brought with him for reasons that I explained last time. A hobbit would be much less imposing than the supposed to be king of this group of dwarves who would very much be imposing to somebody like Bjorn. So Thorin and Dory come out, and of course they bow very low. And this is customary among the dwarves, and of course they say their names, and they say, "At your service." And this is them remembering their manners, really. This is, it's not to be taken literally in the sense that, in similar, I guess, in our current world today, when you meet somebody, you ask them, "How are you doing?" But nobody really wants the answer to that question. If you were to ask me, "How are you doing? Nice to meet you." And I said, "Well, things have been kind of rough. I got to go to the dentist. I think I've got a problem with my teeth. My mouth's been hurting a lot. I didn't sleep well last night. The dog kept barking." Like, I don't actually have that as a problem, but you get the point. If you would have in that moment gone into the details of your life and explaining exactly how you're doing, then the other person would feel kind of off because that's not really where the conversation was expected to go. But still, we say, "How are you doing?" The trained response is, "Fine, thanks. How are you?" And it's just the nature of the way we communicate with each other. It's this feigned feeling of, like, I don't know, care and empathy towards other people, but most of the time we don't really mean it. Sometimes we do, but most of the time we don't. In this situation, we have the saying, basically, "At your service," which is a more antiquated saying. And I bet if you go back in time, most of the time the other person wouldn't actually take them up on their service. It was just polite to offer it. And so Bjorn seems to understand this. He's somebody who has made a point to limit his interactions with other people, to live on his own with his animal friends, who don't do these kinds of moments of being proper. In fact, he's so direct with them, probably because he's the kind of person, and this is usually the case, who's tired of that sort of just words that don't mean anything. He wants to get down to the details. His time is valuable, so let's just speak clearly. And this turns the situation into this moment of comedy. And I'll detail this out as we go. And in this specific event, we have kind of the ramping up of this comedic moment. Thorin and Dory show up, and Bjorn responds, "One or three you meant, I see." He's starting to play into this, like, okay, the words you're using don't actually match what's happening here. But these aren't hobbits, they're dwarves. Like, this response of, like, wait, I was expecting more hobbits. Then, of course, they introduce themselves. And then Bjorn responds, I don't need your service, thank you. Right, like, which is not the proper response. They were probably expecting something like, well, thank you very much, nice to meet you. But no, I don't need your service, which anybody who grew up using phrases like that is going to know that that's not the way you're supposed to respond. And we're still not quite sure about Bjorn at this point. Is he just being rude, or is there something else going on here? Then we get this very interesting moment. He says, but I expect you need mine. So he's clearly in on the details of, like, this is a group of people who need help. That's why Gandalf is here. That's why he's bringing his friends out. But then he shows us that he is more aware of the greater world than we might assume. He says, but if it is true you are Thorin, son of Thrain, son of Thror, I believe, and that your companion is respectable, and that you are enemies of goblins and are not up to any mischief in my lands, what are you up to, by the way? He reveals that he is aware of the dwarves that live on the other side of Mirkwood, or used to live on the other side of Mirkwood in the Lonely Mountain, that they have a kingdom, that there is a lineage, that he knows who those kings are. And he knows that among dwarves, that these are seemingly respectable dwarves. And if you were somebody who was just reading The Hobbit for the first time, you might go, well, wait, I've only met these dwarves. They all seem respectable. Are there not respectable dwarves out there? But if you've read The Silmarillion, you've met somebody like Mim, you know that there are petty dwarves. There are many different clans of dwarves. You know that dwarves are individuals just like anybody else. And some of them may not be as respectable as others. But this group is of the line of kings. And they were good kings. They were good to their people, at least until things got bad. And Bjorn seems to be aware of this. And we learn later on in this section that he does have friends and that sometimes they come by in only small numbers. So he is plugged into the greater world of societies and kingdoms and things like that in some way. But I think he's also plugged into nature and animals and the things that the animals perceive that maybe we, we like to think ourselves as the rational races of this world, if we were living there with them, which is fun to imagine, of course, wouldn't always be aware of the birds and the creatures in the woods and the animals that are noticing what's going on, even though we don't speak their language. And this is another one of those themes that shows up in The Lord of the Rings. Somebody like Saruman using the black, I believe there are crows or ravens, in order to spy for him. Or Gandalf talking to a moth. The world is more alive, and Bjorn is absolutely plugged into this. And by the way, we're going to get into the bonus episode this week about Bjorn, and we're going to dive into what exactly we know and how his lineage may actually work and other places in the stories and maybe even video games and things like that where Bjorn and his people show up. So Gandalf goes on and explains to him how they were in the High Pass and then they were attacked by the goblins. And this is the part that Gandalf knew would hook Bjorn. Go on telling then, says Bjorn, who was never very polite, but he's very direct. And some people appreciate that more than politeness, because again, politeness can come across as kind of hollow. And Gandalf is intentional about this. He explains the terrible storm, the storm giants. And then he mentions they take refuge in a cave, and the Hobbit and I and several of our companions. And he's seeding these little details where he is expanding the size of the group slowly over time. Even though at the beginning he said a lot, he's now going through in order. Do you call two several? Another comedic moment of Bjorn realizing, wait a minute, you said several. And Gandalf admits, okay, there were more than just two more of these other people. And then Bjorn responds again, where are they? Killed? Eaten? Gone home? And then Gandalf responds, no, they didn't all come when I whistled. They're probably just shy. And at this point, he's not really telling the truth, but he's kind of giving Bjorn an explanation for why they didn't all show up at one time. And then he gets Bjorn's approval. He's kind of pulling this out of him. Go on, whistle again. I am in for a party, it seems, and one or two more won't make much of a difference. And of course, he doesn't know it's only one or two more. And at this point, he is engaged with the story. So that's the other piece of Gandalf's brilliance in this, is that he knows he's hooked Bjorn with this story about goblins, and it keeps getting interrupted. And every time it gets interrupted, Bjorn is more focused on hearing the story than worrying about two more people showing up. Also notice at the end of the sentence, it says, growled Bjorn. Bjorn doesn't talk, he growls. It's a reminder that he's a big bear of a man who also turns into a bear. So Gandalf whistles, and Nori and Ori are the next two that come out. And they were ready. It says they were almost there before he stopped. And of course, they were prepared to come out every 5 minutes. And so they're kind of lining up, ready to go. And then Bjorn says, hello, H-U-L-L-O. This shows a certain sense of an accent, I believe, because it's not the proper spelling of hello, which would have still been H-E-L-L-O back in 1937. But it gives us a sense of the way Bjorn speaks. And then we get this fun line afterwards. And again, this is becoming more humorous as we go. You came pretty quick. Where were you hiding? Come on, my jack-in-the-boxes. He calls them jack-in-the-boxes because they are smaller than him and they keep kind of popping out of nowhere, kind of like a jack-in-the-box coming out of the box. And of course, they say their names, Nori at your service, and then Ori begins to say the same thing, and then Bjorn interrupts because he understands the pattern at this point, and he says, thank you. When I want your help, I will ask for it. Sit down, and let's get on with this tale, or it will be supper time before it is ended. This is foreshadowing right here. It will be supper time before it is ended. That is absolutely Gandalf's plan, because if he can keep the story going long enough, not only to bring in all of these dwarves, but also to take enough time for the day to move on, for the sun to start setting, for them to be hungry for dinner, then it would be improper, even though Bjorn is against a certain amount of politeness, he's not a bad host, he's not a bad person. It would be improper for Bjorn to send them out into the dark hungry. Now might be the best time ever to pick up a new language. Now, you might plan on traveling in the future or advancing your career, or maybe you just love learning something new. I've mentioned countless times how I find it so fascinating that J.R.R. Tolkien was so into all of these different languages and how much he had learned to speak and also understand the language at such a detailed level. And that inspires me to learn more about these things, like the Norse languages that were used for the names of the dwarves and Gandalf. All of that stuff is so cool. And that's why I'm excited to have Rosetta Stone as our sponsor this week. They offer 25 different languages, and they have 30 years of experience teaching everybody using a process that is faster to learn, and you retain the information longer. It's also great for learning pronunciation, and you can do it wherever you are, whenever you want, right on your desktop or your mobile app. So don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Lord of the Rings Lorecast listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
And this is an old custom. This goes way back in many cultures. A host welcoming people into their home is expected to treat them with a certain level of respect. Guests are to be taken care of. And this makes sense. When you are traveling somewhere and you're away from home, you don't have the comforts of your home. You might not even have food with you. You don't have somewhere to sleep if it becomes dark. Humans have needs. And when you are so on somebody else's property, visiting somebody else, those needs should be met by the host. This is across many cultures. And it's something that it seems that we as a society probably took more seriously in a time when we couldn't just get on a bus or a train or back in a car and travel back across town in order to go home or to stop at a fast food place late at night to pick up a burger because we're hungry or something like that. In a world where you didn't have easy transit and where it became much more dangerous out at night and in the dark, a good host was supposed to be not just polite to their guests, but able to meet their needs. So this is Gandalf's plan. Keep Bjorn interested in order to bring out all the dwarves, but also let the day run its course. So Gandalf continues the story in very minute detail about them going into the cave, the back wall opening up, them getting grabbed, and their troop of ponies. And we get another response by Bjorn. Troop of ponies? What were you, a traveling circus? And he's using all of these phrases, which again, seem kind of anachronistic. I've mentioned this on a previous episode, circuses and Jack in the Boxes and things like that. And this might feel out of place, except that maybe in a place like the Shire, they seem to have some of these more modern-like things going on there. But also, this story would have been edited for modern readers by J.R.R. Tolkien himself, because he found the original manuscript. So anyway, it goes on and says, or were you carrying lots of goods, or do you always call six a troop? And you can imagine reading this to a child, and the child understands that six is not a troop. That's hilarious, right? No, that's not exactly what's going on. And then Gandalf explains, well, there were more than six ponies for six of us. Oh, and then there were two more. Balin and Dwalin show up. And the comedy continues to build. They bow so low that their beards sweep the stone floor. And this is something very common among dwarves. They have very long beards and they often bow very low. And this was a sign of respect from them. But it also is kind of comedic in a world where you probably almost have never met somebody with a beard long enough to touch the floor when they bow. And we get this different response from Bjorn this time. At first, he was starting to frown, but they did their best to be frightfully polite and kept on nodding and bending and bowing and waving their hoods before their knees. This is a comedic moment. This is something you would see in an old-timey comedy where the characters are so overly polite. They keep on bowing and they keep on bending over and they're nodding and they're waving their hoods. And this is all in proper dwarf fashion, we're reminded. Till he stopped frowning and burst into a chuckling laugh. They looked so comical. This is a division of extremes. To Bjorn, he's just out with polite stuff from the beginning. Doesn't care about niceties, none of that. He would have none of this. And at this moment, Balin and Dwalin are being so overly polite. They're on completely opposite ends of the spectrum here, that Bjorn just finds it comical at this point. This is just ridiculous. These guys are silly. And he follows it up with a comment. Troop was right, a fine comic one. Come in, my merry men, and what are your names? And of course, he reminds them, or at least tells these two new people that he doesn't need their service right at the beginning. Sit down and stop wagging. And he's being very direct with them. Stop wagging your beards. And of course, they introduce himself. And then he tells Gandalf, okay, go on again. He's so interested in the story. And then Gandalf explains that he wasn't grabbed. He killed a goblin or two with a flash, you know, the magic and the fire and the light that he was using. And Bjorn loves it. Good, growled Bjorn. Growled again, notice that. It is some good being a wizard then. And this feels a little judgmental. Because remember, he was skeptical of wizards. He hadn't seen Radagast in quite some time, and he didn't know Gandalf. It would seem that he only knows wizards by their reputations or the things that other people would say about them. But the fact that Gandalf, as a wizard, would be murdering goblins and he hates goblins, well, now all of a sudden he's interested. He's like, okay, maybe you are of some value to the things I care about. So the story goes on, and Gandalf explains that he slips in and he follows the goblins, and he finds 30 or 40 of them. And he thinks to himself, what can a dozen do against so many? And again, he drops a number, and the number keeps increasing. And he gets another reaction from Bjorn. A dozen? That's the first time I've heard eight called a dozen. And again, humorous. Wait, eight isn't a dozen. That would be very funny for children. Or have you still got some more jacks, jack in the boxes, that haven't yet come out of their boxes? And of course, the next two show up, Filly and Killy. And now Bjorn is so interested in the story, even though they show up and they bow and they smile. He's like, that's enough. Sit down and be quiet. Now go on, Gandalf. He just wants to hear what else happens with these goblins. So Gandalf tells more about the story, and now we're starting to skip ahead a little bit. And I find this interesting because Tolkien knew that retelling the things that the audience already heard about could be very boring. So what are his options here? His options were, you skip over the retelling and you just explain, Gandalf explained their story, blah, 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 and move on, which isn't very satisfying. Or you tell the story in complete detail, which is extremely boring to the reader because the reader just read that part of the book. Or you split it up in a fun and interesting way like this, where the retelling of the story works and is in more detail and then kind of trails off as the scene plays out. And so that's what Tolkien decided to do, and it seems to work. And of course, Gandalf drops another number. There were only 14 of us left. 14? That's the first time I've heard one from 10 leave 14. He's talking about Bilbo being lost. You mean nine, or else you haven't told me yet all the names of your party. And then Gandalf's like, okay, well, you haven't seen Owen and Glowin yet. And they show up. And then Bjorn, basically, he's done with this. He says, oh, let them all come. Hurry up. Come on, you two, and sit down. But there are more still waiting, and you can't fool Bjorn. He does the counting, and he says, well, this isn't 14, it makes 11, but just get on with the story. And then we get this interesting part in this paragraph. It says, you see, in the old days, he had known the very part of the mountains that Gandalf was describing. He knew exactly where Gandalf was talking about. And if you remember, Gandalf mentioned that he used to go to the Kerak and look up into the mountains, and that Gandalf had some assumption, some feeling that maybe he or his people came from there. And the narrator seems to confirm this. Then Gandalf continues the story, talks about the trees and the wolves, and we get this muttering from Bjorn. I wish I had been there. I would have given them more than just fireworks. And then Gandalf explains that the goblins show up and they start taunting them. 15 birds and 5 fir trees. And we get another reaction from Bjorn. Good heavens, growled Bjorn, which is a funny phrase for somebody like Bjorn to say, but it was very common in Tolkien's time. Don't pretend that goblins can't count. They can. 12 isn't 15, and they know it. And this is another interesting line. Remember, I was talking about how the goblins have a society and that they get underestimated, that they're actually more intelligent than they may look? Of course they can count. They understand the difference between 12 and 15. And then Biffer and Boffer show up. And I get the sense that at this point, Tolkien was ready to move on with the story, but also so was Bomber, who comes running out. He didn't want to have to wait. And then we get this other line, which I think is supposed to be humorous. He was fat and also angry at being left till last. He refused to wait 5 minutes and followed immediately after the other two. Another reminder. Why do we have to keep on being reminded about how fat Bomber is? Now, this plays out in the future with the whole river in the middle of the forest thing. But at this point, it just keeps on coming up. And I think the reason it does is because it's supposed to be humorous. And in today's world, it is more insulting. But that back then, there were less people who were overweight. A large percentage of the population, especially in the West, especially in the United States, is overweight. And it's due to changes in our diet and sedentary lifestyle and all of that. You go back to the 1930s and somebody who is just in today's world, moderately overweight would have been seen to be actually very large. And that doesn't excuse it, but it does explain it a little bit and why that was such a novel thing to point out about somebody. and use in comedy. But it, you know, just like old writing, sometimes things don't translate as well to the current world. So we finally get all of them. And Bjorn says, now perhaps we can finish this story without any more interruptions. And we get this little moment where we're told that Mr. Baggins finally understands how clever Gandalf was because of this. And the detail that's very pointed out here is that this story was intentional. He told this story very specifically because he knew it would capture Bjorn's attention and distract from all 15 of them showing up. And then we get a little detail about how he never invited people into his house if he could help it, but he had very few friends and they lived a good way away. Now, who those friends are, I don't know that we ever find that out. I think we could probably speculate that most often they're animals, but maybe they are people who were of the same lineage as him. Maybe friends, maybe family members who live far away. Maybe there's something about being a Bjorning, as it's sometimes described, that leads you to want to live a more isolated, solitary life. So this section finishes with Gandalf explaining the details about the eagles and them going to the Kerak, and how finally we're at this point where the sun has fallen behind the peaks of the Misty Mountains and the shadows were long in Bjorn's garden. He had spent just the right amount of time telling the story and introducing everyone so that it was time for supper, and it was too late for them to be sent back out onto the road. "A very good tale," he said, "the best I have heard in a long while. If all beggars could tell such a good one, they might find me kinder. You may be making it all up, of course, but you deserve a supper for the story. All the same, let's have something to eat." Bjorn justifies this and also points out that I guess beggars sometimes come by his property, which is kind of interesting. And this section ends on a polite note, which is this fun little way to put a bow on everything. "Yes, please," they all said together. "Thank you very much." All right, so this week we're going to get more into the details about Bjorn on the Patreon, and we also have a bunch of new patron members to welcome. Also, I'm continuing to do a little bit better. Last week I was mostly over my cold. I'm kind of still, I don't know if you can still hear it. I can still feel it in my face a little bit. I think my voice is still a little bit off, but hopefully it doesn't come through too much on the audio. But here, let's welcome our newest patrons: Leon C., Travis M., Dean H., Gash is my second name, all one word. That took me a moment to read. Lo-Fi Cody, but I don't think Lo-Fi is your real first name, so I'm just going to call that out because I think it's kind of a fun name. And then Joe V, welcome to the Patreon. So glad that you are all here. Thank you for your support and for your continued support of all 187 of our current paid patrons. And we've got some new free ones popping in just to make sure that they can stay aware of the things going on, if I need to take a week off or if I have anything else going on that I want to let people know. It's a great way to just stay plugged in. So feel free to do that. It's free. That's why it's called free. I use the word free a lot right there. Anyway, let's go through all of our VIP patrons. Let's see if I can get through this without messing up any names. AK Music Lover, Aldarion Was Right, Apollo, Atle Morton, Azzle Razzle, Barney D, Bo, Brandy D, Cali Cat, Cutter Metalworks, Daniel Nightweaver, David S, David M, Divine Madman, Fulcrum, George B, Gerald CFC, Gimli A Break, Ginger Fury, Huon Is My Hero, Jezzer, Katie S, Capenna, Lori B, Mason Weathertop, Nick K, Richard J, Rivqua, Rosie Rose, TJT, and Tour Son of Hoor. Thank you so much, everybody. And of course, there's other ways to help out. We don't have any new reviews, or at least, ratings with reviews. We've got some new ratings, but no ratings with reviews on Apple Podcasts. If you leave a 5-star review with a rating, I'll read it out on a future episode, of course. And you can also rate the show on Spotify. You can share it with your friends. All of that would be super helpful. So thanks again, everybody. That's going to do it for this week. And I'm going to go record the bonus episode. I'll see some of you on the other side. Until then, have a wonderful rest of your week. And if you're meeting a big host that looks like a bear, maybe skip the pleasantries. They might appreciate that. Or maybe not. All right. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio, or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord, or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.